For the last several weeks, we've been on a series that we're calling Free from Sin. And boy, the further I get into this, the more I see its significance and importance and how many answers are here. So just like we prayed, are you believing with me for utterance? And go to Romans, please, the 6th chapter. Romans 6. And Romans 6 and verse 1. He said, what shall we say then? And he's continuing from the thoughts that were at the end of the 5th chapter. And he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's how he begins this next part. In the new covenant, we're not under the law, we're under grace. But us being under grace, does that mean sin doesn't matter anymore? Mm-hmm. Now see, that's what he's saying. Shall we continue in sin?
No.
So that, you know, grace will just take care of it. We don't have to think so much about it. And the answer is what? Verse 2, God forbid. No. No way. Because instead of being in sin, he's reminding us, you're dead to sin.
Yes.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's a number of statements here in this chapter about our condition relative to sin, and you want to get these in your mouth. Whether you understand it with your head or not, whether it feels like it, looks like it, seems like it or not, you want to agree with God.
Yes.
Hmm? That's what faith is all about. And he says, we that are dead to sin should live any longer therein. Keep reading. Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The thing to know is that Jesus did nothing of the redemption for himself. He didn't need it for himself. Everything he did for us. He did as a human being in our place so that it was accepted as though we did it.
Hallelujah.
That's why he had to become flesh. He had to become human. Because it was our problem. It was man's problem. And he took our place, willingly took all our sin upon him, and didn't just sympathize with it. He became sin with our sin. And the full judgment of God fell on him. And he was judged for it. And for 3 days and nights, that continued. Until justice was satisfied. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Father spoke from heaven. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And every Christian has heard some of this, but what many have not understood is that when he was scourged, you were scourged.
Exactly right.
When he was crucified, you were crucified. When he died, you died.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about believers.
Yes.
Christians that have received and believe this. When he was raised, you were raised. And it goes further. When he ascended, we ascended. Yes. And when he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, we are seated together with him.
Amen.
We've not scratched the surface of what God did for us, what the Master did for us. But the whole reason he had to come was sin. Sin. The proverb says, fools make a mockery of sin. Fools act like, what sin? There is no sin. Make a mockery of it. And you hear somebody talking like that, well, you know you just heard a fool. And you don't want to think that way. Because sin is what put Jesus on the cross. The highest price that's ever been paid in the universe for anything was paid for us to redeem us from our sin. So sin's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And it's not to be made light of. But he's telling us, because of what Jesus has done, we are now dead to sin. Hallelujah. And free from sin. So get this in your mouth. Everybody said out loud, I am dead to sin.
Dead to sin.
I am
free from sin.
Is that good news or is that good news? He said verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Said out loud, I don't serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Is that you?
Yes, it is.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. And so death has no more dominion over us. Verse 11, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So say it out loud. I reckon myself.
I reckon myself.
I count myself.
I count myself.
Dead to sin.
Dead to sin.
But alive to God.
But alive to God.
Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about when we say free from sin. Go with me if you would. This is the sixth chapter, just over a page or in my Bible, to the seventh chapter. Thank you, Lord. I may want to do this a little bit differently. I tell you, instead of that, go to Matthew. Let me approach this from another way. Matthew 26. You know, as a woodsman, lumberjack, whatever you want to say, if you want to cut the big tree and lay the big tree where it's supposed to go,
right,
you got to get the little trees
right
out of the way,
yep,
first.
Yep.
Or elsewise, in a thick forest, the big tree will just move a little bit and get hung up in the trees and it won't even come down. Somebody says, what are you talking about? You got to take care of the little things to get ready to lay the big one down.
All right.
Selah. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, Jesus said this. Twenty-six forty-one. Jesus is telling his disciples, 26:41 Matthew, he said, watch and pray. Say that out loud. Watch and pray. Two things. Watch. What's watching? That word literally means stay awake. Be alert. Be on the watch. Well, what are we watching for? And pray. Pray that, or we might say, so that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, if because of what the Master has done, we legally and spiritually are dead to sin, free from sin, then why are so many Christians still sinning so much? Well, temptation is a big part of the issue. And here he's giving instruction how to not yield, how to not be overcome by temptation. Temptation is a very real thing that we deal with every day. And again, just like sin, it's foolish to make light of it. What did he say? Watch and pray, so that you won't enter into temptation. Another way of saying it, you won't give into it. You won't act on it. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you give into it, when you yield to it, when you act on it. Jesus was tempted in all points, in every way, in every area, just like us, yet without sin. So temptation is not a sin. It's what you do with it. And here he describes the condition, which is one of the things they needed to be on the watch about. And it's recorded for all of us. He said the spirit indeed is willing. Willing to what? Willing to not enter into temptation. Willing to not give in to the wrong thing. Willing to do the right thing. But what's the problem? But the flesh is weak. Weak through the flesh. Now, he didn't say the spirit is strong, because it may or may not be. He said willing. Right? And in many cases, people are willing to do something. That doesn't mean you're strong, able to do it. And the problem is weakness in the flesh. Now, those of us who are believers have been born again.
Amen.
And 2 Corinthians says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But that's on the inside. That's not in the flesh. Our flesh, our body, has not been born again.
Amen.
It's exactly like the body of unbelievers. And it will do anything you let it do. It will want to do things. Y'all are too quiet. That it shouldn't do. And it's up to the man on the inside to be in control. Paul said, I keep under my body.
Yes.
I bring it into subjection. And there's some strong language there about how you don't want to get rough with other people, but sometimes you need to get rough with yourself and go, hey, boy. We ain't doing that. We're doing this. Right?
Yes.
You got to get straight with yourself. And because temptation is all around us, and it will endeavor to pull on you, to influence you, but it's up to us whether we yield to it, whether we give in to it or not. Look in Luke, if you would, the about the 22nd chapter or so. Yeah, Luke 22 and 31. The Lord said to Peter, this is right before he went to the cross. He said, Simon, Simon. Now, anytime the Lord calls your name twice like that, put your phone down. Is that right? Turn everything off. Pay attention. You remember he said that with Martha, right? Martha? Martha. See, Martha had done gone too far. Interrupting the teaching. All this good. Yeah, anyway. He said, look, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, it's not a nice thought, but it's reality that there is a devil and there are evil spirits and they're in work. They're at work 24/7. I mean, without stopping. And what are they trying to do? They are trying to tempt, to deceive, to trick, to mislead in order to get you in a wrong place and the wrong path to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're on your case and mine every day. And that's where the watch comes in. See, if you act like that's not true, if you act like that doesn't exist, you're already at a disadvantage. Things will be half over before you even find out what's going on. And you don't need to be in fear, but you do need to realize I need to keep an eye out, right, for that sorry cuss of a devil, right, and all his deceiving, lying, tempting, evil working spirits. And they come in the form of thoughts and suggestions and feelings. And they're not in you. They're out here. But they come against your mind. They bring these things to you. And then it's up to you and me whether we go, yeah, I like that idea. Let's do it. Just yield to it. Or whether you're wise enough to go, no, no, that's not right. And you resist it. Amen. And you don't give in and you say no. Use your words. Separate yourself. Hallelujah. And we're going to see as we go further into this, if you're smart, you'll put distance between you and that temptation. Make it easy on yourself. Huh? You know, for instance, if you're trying to lose a few pounds, it's easier to pass the cookie aisle at the grocery store than it is your cupboard. Right? You're shopping and you say, well, no, I don't want to eat a bunch of sweets for a while. There's the cookie aisle. Oh, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. So see, just passing the cookie aisle, right? And you don't take them home, because if you take them home, you got to pass them 50 times a day, right? You know they're right there, right? They're right there. You may be trying to pray or something and your flesh goes, hey, the cookies are right there. So make it easy on yourself, right? If you can pass it out there, you're not dealing with it in here. He said, verse 32, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when, this is Jesus talking by faith, when you are converted, when you get over this and you're straightened out, strengthen your brethren. Now, boy, this is the picture of the grace and goodness of the Lord. If you've blown it really badly in an area, which Peter went on to do, God's will is that you overcome and you recover and you're restored so completely that now you're able to help other people in that situation get strong and overcome or not fail in that area to begin with. So then what the enemy meant to happen, which was for your complete destruction, didn't happen. You were saved. You were spared. You were restored. But he's pointing out to Peter, the enemy has got a plan for you. He's after you. And temptation is a testing of your faith. And you may have to think about that one a little bit, but it's a testing of your faith. Because it takes faith to stand. And it takes faith to trust God. If the Lord says, that's not for you, and your flesh screams, I want it, who do we trust? Y'all see what I'm saying? Then instead of just it being a phrase, it needs to be reality. God knows best. Right? And if he tells me, no, I don't want you doing that, I don't want you involved in this, I don't want you going that way, then you say, well, Lord, okay. That's what it means. Jesus is Lord. He's Savior, but he's also Lord. He's in charge. So he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Verse 33. And he said to them, Peter's response, I want you to look at this. What did Peter say? Lord, I'm ready. Was he ready? Y'all going to help me preach this or not? He said, Lord, I'm ready. I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I'm ready to die with you. Because he had talked about all of them forsaking him and talked about, you know, in just a moment of what Peter did. But I think Peter meant this, and this is the perfect picture. His spirit was willing. But was he able to follow through with it?
No.
He fell short. He failed. Why? Because his flesh was weak. And what happened? He overestimated his strength. And he underestimated the temptation. See, he didn't know what was about to happen and how it would be. And that Jesus was going to let them take him. And that the soldiers were going to be there, armed and ready to kill people. And it looking like that the next step would be the authorities wiping out Jesus' apostles and disciples and all that. And fear hit them. Fear hit them. And they all ran. And Peter followed afar off and tried to get back around. And you know, when somebody saw him, they said, aren't you one of them? Fear. Somebody say fear. Fear. So he was tempted to be afraid and scared, and he yielded to the temptation and lied and said, no, I don't know him. I'm not part of him. Are we judging Peter today? No. Ain't nobody here judging Peter. And I'm telling you, when you get to heaven and you see him, don't bring it up. Don't bring it. Telling you enjoyed his writings in the epistles, right? Say, man, I got so much. That First Peter, Second, whoo, that helped me through my life, brother. But don't bring this up, what we're talking about right now. Do you want somebody bringing your mistakes up? No, you don't. No, you don't. He said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I think he really thought he was. I think he really believed he was, even. His spirit was willing. Because when they all came, I mean, he actually whipped out his sword. Right? And took a swing at one of them, clipped off his ear. You remember that? Well, what do you think's going to happen next? Right? He's not a trained soldier, I don't guess. He's a fisherman.
Right.
So he knows he could be killed here right away. Because these soldiers were nothing to play with.
Right.
And I think, you know, he thought he was there. But when the Lord told him, "Now put your sword up," and he healed the guy's ear. And then he let them take him. They didn't imagine it would happen this way. And that's the thing why the Lord keeps saying, you got to watch and you got to pray. Because there's so much you don't know. And things can be so differently than you imagined they would be. What am I watching for? I'm watching for the tricks of the enemy. And I'm praying and asking the Lord to show me. And He will, if we'll do this, He'll prepare us for what's coming up. And praying in the Holy Spirit actually builds you up. Is that right? On your most holy faith, so that your spirit's not just willing, it's also strong. Hallelujah. And you practice this day in, day out, month after month, year after year, where your spirit gets a lot stronger than your flesh. And you're able to control that flesh, dominate that flesh. And that's how you're able to not enter in to temptation. Can you see it, church? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me, I'm taking my time on this today, but I just want to get it right. Go with me to, thank you, Lord, Luke 22, and let's see how Jesus handled this. Because you got an example here of Jesus' disciples. He warned them, watch and pray so you don't enter into temptation. They didn't watch and they didn't pray. And they failed when the pressure was on and the heat was on. They ran, they caved, they were scared. And again, Peter overestimated his own strength and readiness. He was too quick to say, "I'm ready." When the Lord says, you need to watch about this and you need to pray, you don't stand up and go, "Oh, I got it." No, you don't got it. You respond like that. Why is He telling you this? Why is He telling you this? So no. If the Lord says, watch this area, watch out for this, then it doesn't mean you get into fear or panic, but now it's on your radar.
That's right?
I'm watching. I'm aware. And what else am I doing? Come on, help me out. I'm praying. Lord, show me what's going on. Show me what I need to do. Show me how to respond, what to say, what to believe, what to do. And not just pray for 2 minutes. That was entirely too quiet there, man. That was, y'all with me or not? Fellowship with the Lord. It's not a crazy thing to fellowship with the Lord for an hour. I mean, how many times people are spending 2-3 hours watching some dumb movie? Right? It's not crazy to spend, you know, at least, you know, 30 minutes, an hour. That's not a bizarre thing. That should be normal life for believers. And to not do it is exactly like Peter saying, "I'm ready. I don't need to do it. I got it. I know what's going on." No, honey child, you ain't got a clue what's going on in the spirit world, what the enemy's got planned, what the future holds. You don't know all that. And you don't need to know all that. But the parts you do know, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. He will show you if you stop to ask and look and check. Just what we've already talked about today. Is there a way to prevent giving in to sin? Is there a way? What's the answer? Watch. According to Jesus. Is he saying that if they had done what he said, there would have been a different outcome with them? A different response with it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But now we see the perfect example in Jesus. He did what he told them to do. Huh? While they were sleeping, what was he doing? Come on, help me out. He was praying. And he was watching. And he was praying. And he knew what was going on. And he knew the answer and what to do. And he did not yield to temptation. Although the pressure was on. In fact, the pressure was beyond, if I understand correctly, what any individual human being has ever experienced. What do you mean? Well, let me read it and then I'll comment. Luke 22:40, Jesus was at the place and he said to them, Luke 22:40, pray that you enter not into temptation. If you've been giving in to the wrong thing, talk to the Lord about it. Right? Talk to him about it. Ask him to show you what to do. There are specific steps you can take. He knows. Pray that you enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed. So he's doing what he told them to do. And part of what he's praying about is so that he doesn't yield to temptation. Can y'all see this? He said, Father, and you see the temptation right here. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. What's the temptation? Not to go through with this. He is fully aware of not just what's about to happen physically, but the worst part you couldn't see. Becoming sin with sin and being judged for it. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, yours be done. Can you see a pull? Is there a pull? And this is what happens every time with temptation. Part of you wants something that's not the will of God. The other part of you is willing for the will of God. Right? And it's up to us which part we pick. He kept coming back to say, but your will. Not my will. But your will be done. Keep going. There appeared an angel from him, from heaven, doing what? Do you know that's available to us too? There are situations where the situation is such that the trial, the temptation is so significant, so severe, you need help. You need strength. And when did it come? While he's praying. Can you see this? While he's praying about this situation and about this temptation and pull on him to do something other than the will of God. He said, but I'm going to do the will of God no matter what. And I mean, an angel showed up beside him and probably put his hand on him and started ministering strength into him. Because he's operating as a man, as a human being, with all the inherent weaknesses of human being. He needed strength, and the Lord sent it while he was watching, while he was praying. Can you see that?
Yes.
And keep going. You see, being in an agony, he prayed. He did what? He didn't quit praying because it got tougher. More earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What is that from? That is from resisting temptation. That's what it's from.
Hallelujah.
The temptation not to go through it. And because of the strength that he's being given from heaven, and because of his commitment and resolve to please the Father, he didn't give in. Even when blood's coming out of his pores, resisting this. Is he your hero?
Yes.
And who's he doing it for? Come on, help me out. He didn't need it for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me because of our sin. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Look at the next two verses. When he rose up from prayer and he'd come to the disciples, he found them what? They're not watching. They're not praying. Now, what's the issue with that? He told them, y'all awake or not?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He told them, watch and pray. They didn't do it. We're not judging them, but we want to learn from this. They also, everybody ran off and left him, forsook him. Peter denied him, lied, all this kind of stuff. And what did Jesus tell them? Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray. Why? So that you won't enter in to temptation. Now see, one temptation works like another. Whatever temptation has been hindering you, bothering you, whatever temptation you've been given into, you don't have to. You can be free. In Christ, you're dead to sin. Free from sin. Is that right? But you still got a free will. And you still got a body that's not born again. Your body's just like Joe Sinner's, Betty Sinner's body. It'll do anything that you let it do. But with God's help, we cannot just be willing, we can be strong. And not give in. Not yield. Can you say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Look at Hebrews 12, and I'm thinking about wrapping up. Hebrews 12 and 1. He said, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These are all the believers that have gone before. We need to remind ourselves all the time when you think of somebody that's passed on, that's died. I don't refer to my loved ones and friends in the past tense. Because they still exist. They just relocated. And here he's saying, along with all the individuals, you know, Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Elijah and all those folks, they're in heaven. And apparently, they're observing some of our progress. You know? Why would you want to be in the grandstand in the cloud of witnesses if there ain't nothing to watch? He said, because, and this would help you to be aware, if we've got an audience, what should we do? Lay aside every weight and get rid of that sin, right? Which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is not a sprint. This is a long distance race. You got to set a pace. You got to keep it. Day after day, year after year. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can he finish what he started with us? Yes, he can. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And say it out loud, he did it all for me. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, and that would be you're giving up. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin. You have not been tempted to the point where you resisted to the point blood's coming out of your pores.
Hallelujah.
And he's saying, look at Jesus. Do what Jesus did.
Amen.
You won't even have to go to that degree. But don't give in. Struggling, striving against sin. Did you hear that phrase? Striving, you've not yet resisted to blood, doing what? Striving, that's the word for struggle. Like in a wrestling match. What are you wrestling with? I'm glad you asked. Go to the book of James. Go to the book of James. Looks like I'm not quite through. James describes exactly what we're wrestling with. I believe the Lord's helping us today.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
Is this His Word?
Yes.
It is. James 1 and verse 2. He said, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Really? We're talking serious strength here. That when you get challenged, when you encounter trial and test, you go, ha! Greater is He that's in me.
Amen.
Than he that's in the world. You picked the wrong one to mess with this time, devil, because I ain't laying down. I ain't giving in. I ain't going to quit. And as I overcome all this, I'm going to tell everybody that you couldn't do it. You couldn't. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now see, this is completely opposite from, oh, woe is me. Y'all just don't know what I've been going through. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my... Quit talking about the Lord. You're not talking to Him. You're just wallowing in something else. No. No, that's not going to help you. And the truth is, people are going through rougher stuff than you are. And not crying about it as much. So... Say it out loud, the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Verse 12, blessed is the man that does what? Endures. Now see, if you give in to temptation, it's not a fight anymore. You're not enduring it. It's not a struggle anymore. You gave in. I used to teach a course at Rhema Bible Training Center submission and authority, and we talked about pride and humility. And I don't know how many times people would come, the students would be with me for a few days in there, and they'd say, you know, Brother Keith, before I took your class, I never had any trouble with pride. I said, yeah, you don't have trouble with what you yield to. Right? It's a fact. But it's when it's like habits people have that they shouldn't have, and they always want to pop. Well, I can quit any time I want to. Show us. Right? It's when you go to change it that you find out. And see, that's what happened with Peter. He overestimated his strength, and he underestimated the severity of the temptation. You don't win battles by underestimating your enemy and overestimating your strength. Which is why you got to watch and pray. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So many folks are saying, and it's wrong, I don't know why God is putting me through this. If it has to do with evil, it wasn't God. It isn't God. And no, God will never tempt you to do something wrong. He won't be involved in that. That wouldn't be right. To tempt you to do something wrong, and when you did it, judge you for it. That wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair. It's the enemy tempting you. But the enemy's got to have something to work with. He's got to find a connector. Keep reading. Every man, how many people?
Every.
Man means male and female. Every person is tempted when what happens? Drawn away of your own lust or your own. The word lust is for desire, a strong desire, longing, even craving. And that's not the devil. That's you. Right? His own longing, lust, desire. The issue, the whole thing with temptation is it's not an issue except according to your desire. Can your flesh desire things it should not have? Can your unrenewed mind want things it shouldn't want? Yeah. And he said, you're tempted, this is true with everybody, you're tempted when you're drawn away. Put it back up there, please. Drawn away, pulled, there's a pull, and it's your own desire. And enticed. Now that's the devil. Huh? If you've been drinking and an alcoholic and you got free and your flesh still remembers, the taste of the liquor and the effect and the euphoria and whatever, the stupor, the drunkenness, you know, and your flesh ain't born again. Now, it's included in redemption, and God's going to change it later. But right now, it's just like Joe Sinner's flesh. And so that desire is there. And let's say you're around somewhere, and somebody poured some liquor, and you smelled it. And your flesh said, hey, I smell some whiskey. Woo, I know it's here. I know it's here. That's when the devil will pick up the glass and go, hey, look at here. Enticement. Can you see that? He'll frame it. He'll display it. He'll talk about it. He'll remind you. This is temptation. I said, this is temptation. And it's pulling on you. And even if your spirit is willing to do the right thing, you still got that flesh. And most folks' flesh is so weak. They just keep giving in and giving in. And if you give in, it ain't the end of the world. God still loves you. Now, it can be dangerous. I said it can. If God delivered you from alcoholism, I know of an individual. God delivered him from alcoholism. It was amazing. And he was clear and clean for years. And he was in a business meeting and with some bunch of folks drinking, he decided he'd take a drink, one drink, and he got blackout drunk and woke up paralyzed.
Wow.
Stroke. Died months after that. It's a dangerous thing to go back to what you were delivered from. Because see, when it happened in the past, God had mercy on you. He knew you didn't know. Right? And the enemy, in some cases, if he can just get you to yield one more time, he's laying for you. He's ready for you. It's dangerous to yield. So, let's just don't. What do you say? What do you say? Let's finish this life out and go to be with the Lord. You don't have to do all that. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust, he mentions it twice now, has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's what Romans, that chapter we read, chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And perhaps we'll talk about this more later, but you see the big component that you and I are in charge of? Is what the King James calls the lust. The desire. That's the hook that the enemy has to tempt us. If we had no desire at all for it, he's got nothing to work with. Can you see that? But you might say, well, what if we do? What if I do have a desire? If you've got a tormenting desire for something that's wrong, it's because you have fed it for months and years. Y'all with me or not? You have fed it. These kind of things don't get strong and overpowering and obsessive because a thought crossed your mind one time. So, if something has gotten too strong because it's been fed too much, help me out. What do we got to do? We got to starve this desire. Right? And it'll get weaker. And if we don't feed it, if we go days and weeks and months and don't feed this desire, it will weaken. It'll get weaker and weaker and weaker. And instead of being weak through the flesh with that strong desire, we'll be strong in our spirit and we can say no. Huh? And we're able to resist it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Separation and not feeding that desire. So we see God will help us. I mean, if we listen to him, if we'll watch about this, if we'll pray about this, if it takes an angel coming down from heaven, is that right? To strengthen us, to help us, if you're willing to resist. Now, if you just won't even try and you just give in and say, I can't help it, well, you're stuck. And it won't get better, it'll get worse. But the price has already been paid to be free from sin. Can you say amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands. Lift your thanks. Say glory to God.